Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle.
With plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa and I am here with Allison.
Hi everyone.
So today's topic is all about sleep, why it's important, our personal tips and tricks to help you get better sleep for yourself and for your kids. And Allison is heavily loaded this episode with, you know, reasons why sleep is so important in an effort to make me get more sleep.
Sleep is my favorite thing in the whole world.
I mean, naps are the best.
See, I'm not a napper.
Well, I used
I'm a night sleeper. I will sleep all night long. And then sometimes way into the morning. But don't do that. That's not good.
I mean, I also love sleep, but I also love staying up after the kids have gone to bed so I can at least feel like I've gotten some me time.
And I get that. But Claire goes to bed at 7, so it's a bit easier for me.
Not forever. Enjoy that one.
I will. I will until daylight savings time
Till it's over. All right. So before we get into our topic, what are we drinking today?
So I love me any kind of champagne cocktail, and this is actually one that my mom introduced me to. It's called a Cure Royale, and it is the simplest fancy drink you've never heard of.
And I have never heard of it.
When I mentioned it, you had never heard of a Cure Royale, and I think that's pretty common. I don't think it's like that known of a drink, but all it is creme de cassis and any kind of a sparkling wine or a champagne.
Listen, I'm not fancy. What's a creme de cassis?
Creme de cassis is essentially a black currant liqueur.
Liqueur.
And it's just a very little bit at the bottom. It's essentially just for the color and that little bit of flavor. You don't want too much because it can be sweet. Okay. And you want that dryness, that slight bitterness of a dry brut champagne. And then what we did with this one is that it's up in a flute and then just a twist of actually grapefruit. So you can use whatever you had on hand. We happen to have grapefruits on hand, and I love a bitter fruit, and bitterness with the sweetness of the cassis is kind of a nice balance.
It's so delicious. It's really like bubbly but dry and has like a ton of citrus flavor.
Well,
I'm into it.
Glad you like it. So cheers to sleep, beautiful sleep.
Also, before we get into our topic, I feel the need to do our usual disclaimer. You know, while we think we are experts, we are in fact not. So, you know, any kind of advice or treatment we share with you today should not trump anything provided to you by a medical professional. So just practical methods you can try at home. So if you are having a real sleep issue, please go see your doctor.
Or if your kids are, right? If there's something night terrors, you know, it's definitely something to pick up and go to the pediatrician for.
Yeah, don't like re-listen to the podcast for tips.
No.
Go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor, please. We are not doctors. So to launch in, I wanted to start by talking just a little bit about why sleep is important. And I think everybody's going to say, duh, it's important because we sleep at night and you need sleep. But it goes beyond that. There's, you know, the practical benefits of sleep and its impact on our health. And it's profound. It impacts all aspects of our life. So the first thing is just that healthy brain function. So it improves our ability to learn and actually can help you build memory. So your ability to actually retain information, which is why it's so key for kids.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it can impact their ability to grow and develop and learn in the classroom. So a kid that's not getting good sleep is just not getting what they need out of the school day. And lack of sleep can actually impact your ability to make decisions and your problem solving skills. We all have driven when we're a little bit tired, right? And you feel like you can't focus. You feel like you can't see the road in front of you and the lines kind of blur.
Yeah.
The same thing happens to your cognitive ability.
Huh.
So there's that sight impact and you know what's happening when you're driving. But you think about, this is going to sound totally trite, but being able to see the lines in decision making and the different sides of a story, right?
Oh, that's an interesting comparison, yeah.
So you just can struggle with that ability to clearly articulate your own thoughts and practically make decisions. Another big one is emotional well-being. And this is one for me. This is why I love my sleep, because I am a bear when I'm hungry and I am a bear when I'm tired. I just don't mess with me. And you are too, but you just don't get sleep and then we have to deal with you.
I'm never a bear.
She's a bear.
She's for sure a bear. I definitely noticed this with my kids, with my son specifically. I mean, he will just get frustrated really mm-hmm. easily. He'll be kind of more emotional if he hasn't had a nap that day, or if it's been a really long day or whatever it is. And it's one of those things, like when we see certain behaviors from the kids, like we're like, oh, they're tired. Like yeah. you just know that they haven't had enough sleep, and it's so evident.
And it can actually cause, like, lack of sleep can cause behavioral issues in kids too. Mm. But for me, that's kind of like a chicken and egg type of scenario. Like
yeah.
if there's some kind of behavioral or social issue with a kid in the classroom, could that be causing stress, which could be impacting sleep, yeah. which then is perpetuating the
pattern. There's so many interconnected things between sleep and mood and anxiety and stress and depression and everything else. It's all so interconnected.
It is, which is why hopefully these tips will help people that really need sleep get to sleep. But the other piece is around physical health. So there's the physical impact of sleep. We need sleep in order for our bodies to function normally. Sleeping actually helps heal and repair heart and blood vessels, which is, I find, super fascinating. So your body's actual ability to fight off illness, build your immune system, is impacted by sleep. What I found really interesting, though, is that there's a connection between lack of sleep and obesity and your body's response to insulin and the hormones that respond to feeling full or feeling hungry. So there's just this whole food aspect of sleep that you wouldn't think about.
No,
right?
No, I wouldn't connect the two.
So if your body, when you're sleep deprived, doesn't necessarily respond to those hormones really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Readily?
Nope.
I don't
regulating?
Know.
Regulating.
She's motioning in front of me. Like we're.
I'm motioning, hoping that she's going to know what I'm saying.
Playing charades.
But essentially, it's your body's ability to understand whether or not it's hungry or full is impacted by lack of sleep.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's significant.
It is. And so often when you're putting things into your body that are messing with your sleep, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, but if you're having lots of sugar and salt and simple carbs and things like that, or complex carbs rather, it's impacting your ability to sleep. But then the next day, it's also impacting your body's ability to recognize whether or not you should be eating that or not. So it's just this cycle that you can get into with your eating and sleeping habits, which can mess with you.
Don't tell me what to do.
I will. And then one that I found interesting and I had to mention is that sleep can actually curb inflammation in your body. And why do I bring this up with Larissa? Because she has this sciatica pain ever since having the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it could be related to inflammation, because when you went vegan,
yeah,
right, you felt better, and you yes. think a big part of it was inflammation.
Yes.
So perhaps if you added additional sleep into your day, you wouldn't have as much inflammation and therefore wouldn't have as much pain.
I would love to add sleep into my day.
Okay, into your night.
Sold.
Your evening.
Sold.
You can. You have the power to go to bed earlier.
I mean, I know I can, but when will I play games on my phone?
By the way, I wish you would never introduce me to that game. Does anybody else have like these phone waster, like time waster games?
They're the worst. Everybody. I have two that I incessantly play.
I have one, and you made me play it, and now I hate you.
You are welcome.
It's the worst. So I'm sorry. I know I got on my soapbox a little bit about sleep, but I honestly believe that as much as the food we eat and, our diet impacts our health, sleep can impact our health just as much. And for me, it's one that I prefer.
It is a good one. No, everything that you've said makes perfect sense. I mean, sleep is how your body repairs itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting enough of it is important. But I will also say, like, there's all these, and I know we want to talk about this a little bit. There is guidelines, I guess, around sleep, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody needs the same amount of sleep. So I know that, like, I feel like I function fine on the same amount of sleep at a lower level or less hours of sleep than maybe someone who gets a whole bunch more. Like, I don't feel like I need as much sleep as the average person.
So how much do you think the average person does need?
I think the supposed to be 8 hours, right?
Right. Okay. But even all medical professionals will agree it varies by person, like you were saying. What I found interesting is that it doesn't actually reduce your need for sleep does not actually reduce as you get older, as we used to think. Like, some people think that as you get older, you require less sleep. Children need more. The elderly potentially need less. That's not the case. It's just how your ability to stay asleep is impacted as you get older, whether it be, you know, urinary incontinence and needing to go to the bathroom or pain or other things like that. But you still need the same amount of sleep. That's why naps are really important as you get older.
I wonder, too, if, you know, that guideline of around 8 hours. So I might be able to function really well at 6. Does that mean I'm still getting less sleep than I should, even if I can function at the same level as someone who gets 8 hours of sleep? Like, I don't know.
Do you ever feel like you get into a sleep debt cycle where on the weekends you make up for the sleep that you missed during the week?
No, because I have children. but I used to. When we didn't have kids, we would stay up even later. And I remember every few months I would literally take a 16-hour sleep. And it was glorious.
Glorious, but that's how you know.
But yeah, I would catch up. I would catch up every couple months. I would catch up.
See, that's when you know you're not getting what you need during the week. And it's impossible to say, like, just sleep more, because who has the time?
You said I could sleep during the day.
You totally can. Work wouldn't mind.
No, they would not. It's for my health.
So for me, I function best on an 8-hour sleep, which is next to impossible.
That's so many hours.
It is so many hours, but it's what my body needs.
How do you have that much time to sleep?
I don't. That's the problem. I go to bed really early. So when Larissa and I first started working on the podcast, I would get texts from her at like a solid 9:30, and I would not respond until the next morning. No. And at first, I think you thought I was just a jerk. Then you realized, no, she's asleep.
Yeah, when I'm texting her past like 8:30, I'm almost sure she's not going to respond. Or when, like, there's, like, a couple of us that will have, like, a group text chain, and then we make fun of the fact that Allison's not getting all these until the morning.
Nope, I wake up to, like, 75 text messages.
Well, and you've missed all the fun.
You know what I've not missed? Being awake. Because I feel amazing. But there, I think the big thing we can acknowledge is that we all know we need a certain amount of sleep, but there's always things that get in the way. So for me, the big thing that's getting in my way right now is Claire goes back and forth through sleeping through the night. So no matter when I go to sleep, if she wakes up at 2 a.m, I'm up.
Yep.
And so that's the big thing that impacts my sleep. Stress does not impact my sleep.
You are so lucky.
I know. I will have this most stressful day and out.
Maybe that's how you decompress. Maybe. Is being unconscious.
That is how I deal with depression. Like, when I'm really down.
Yeah. You just go to sleep.
I just go to sleep.
Hmm.
I sound like I'm narcoleptic.
I'm not. It does. So I have, I don't know what this is called. I perpetually have a brain that's always on. I'm always thinking about something. I'm always thinking about the next thing. I'm always overanalyzing. I'm always thinking. And that's what keeps me from sleeping well. Luckily, between work and kids and everything else in between, most of the time, by the time I get to bed, I am just dead tired. You're exhausted. And I pass out. But if I am stressed about something, I am not sleeping. I am thinking about it. I am just running scenarios in my head, and I'm laying with my eyes open staring at the ceiling.
No.
It's awful.
That does sound awful.
It's awful.
Okay, well, let's talk about how to deal with that. But it's so funny because, like, this sounds so funny, but I can't relate to that because I sleep.
I'm giving her the evil eye right now.
I'm the worst. Everybody's going to hate me. I love all of you. Don't hate me.
You're trying to, like, tell everyone you're not this, like, happy-go-lucky, pleasant-faced person. You're like, not even stress keeps me from my sleep. Good night.
Well, I love sleep. I can't help it. It's like, all right, if you're super stressed, are you going to, like, not eat?
No, I eat my feelings.
There you go. I sleep my feelings.
Fine.
That's how I deal with it.
Fine.
Love sleep the best. So how do we get more sleep, I think, is the question. So we're going to talk through a little bit of things that work for us, or I should say works for me.
Yes. What does work for you? You don't need anything. You just go to sleep.
I don't.
Float right off.
Because I will say I had more problems with sleep probably when I was in, like, high school, college, okay, early working life.
Okay.
I would say I got better with sleep over the years.
Okay.
And part of it was marrying Kyle, and because he insisted on a tech-free bedroom.
Interesting.
So our bedroom, and that's one of the big things, is like setting the stage for sleep. So we don't have a TV in our room.
Pass.
I know. And most people feel that way because most people have TVs in the room. They fall asleep to the TV. They like waking up and putting on the news. I love
the noise.
I know.
And I did too. How will I watch Investigation Discovery about, you know, women who kill or whatever right before bed?
She
says that.
She watches Real Housewives.
No, because there's no DVR upstairs. So it's, you know, women who kill.
That's why you can't sleep. Why would you watch that before bed?
So soothing.
Oh, God. So, anyway.
Fun facts about Larissa.
So I recognize, like, a no electronic zone isn't exactly the right way to go for everybody, but we don't have a TV in our room. We do have our phones next to our bed, but what I do is when I've made the decision that I'm going to bed, I put the phone down.
But what if I'm texting you?
And I ignore you.
Buzzing.
It doesn't buzz. I have do not disturb on my phone.
What if I'm on fire and I need you?
If you're one of my favorites, you can call me 3 times and it will come through.
I have to call you 3 times for it to come through?
3 times. Yes.
I'm calling someone else at that point. Because I'm on fire and I need help immediately.
Then call somebody that lives in your home.
Whatever, Allison.
But it really can make a huge difference just not having that bright light in your face. There's so many studies that prove that having that bright light in your face, yes, that electronic light is detrimental to sleep.
That blue and white light does kind of impact the way you process things in your brain. It does keep you awake, mm-hmm, for sure.
One thing you can do if you're a big tablet or phone user right before bed is there are a couple of apps, and I think now it's native to iOS, but you can put on this screen that's better for dark light.
Yellowed.
It's a yellow screen, mm-hmm, and it's just a little bit easier on the eyes. It doesn't have that same impact to your brain.
Yep.
So think about doing that. But just having a curfew for your phone would be really great, and just being able to put it down and not have it
on. This is something I do on Abdot. You will not get my TV out of my room. You will have to get it out of my Kung Fu grip. I will not give you my TV, but I do want to try to, like, put my phone down at some point and not incessantly look at it and not play games and not check whatever it is that I'm checking that's inconsequential.
Or scrolling through Instagram.
Oh, so much
There's
scrolling.
There's so many studies about what that does to your psyche, and it's actually pretty negative.
Yeah. I know. And so, like, I do want to put some of that in place. So maybe let me think about what I want those boundaries to be, and maybe I will tell them to you. Maybe you can keep me accountable.
Okay. Well,
and,
maybe,
like, check in with
how
me.
How about in 2 weeks after this airs, we'll do a check-in and we'll see how you did.
Okay, deal.
Okay. So the next big one, and this is huge for kids especially, routine and consistency.
So big.
So important. So important. But important for us too. I think a lot of people as moms will say, I put my kid down at this time, we read a book, they have a bottle, yep, whatever it is, we know their routine.
Yep.
But for ourselves, we kind of just toss ourselves into bed and, like, flip through Instagram, yep, right? So we know that
sometimes
it's
sometimes I take my
reasonable.
Makeup off. Sometimes I don't.
Okay, to
sometimes,
be fair.
Oh, I'm so bad at it.
It's really bad.
And I'm getting better at it. It's just one of those things because I'm always going to bed when I'm completely about to pass out.
Quick trick. Hmm. Get those makeup remover wipes and put them on your nightstand.
Those are made with garbage and I will not.
You can find ones that are not made of... You can find ones that are just saline water.
I oil cleanse. Thank you very much.
See, did that sound judgy to anybody else? Just me?
Whatever. Anyway.
Anyway. So one big thing about consistency. So routine, we definitely yes, talk about.
And I do want to say one thing about routine too. Yeah. Like when it comes to the kids, because I, like you mentioned, like I have these like specific things that I do with the kids and in a specific order. And it's especially helpful for me when like my husband plays basketball once a week. And so I'm putting the kids down on my own and it's two of them and they're in separate bedrooms and it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And so that routine really helps me because I find that when they know exactly what's coming, they're a little bit more receptive to kind of like doing all of that more calmly.
Yeah.
My husband is kind of a lot more go with the flow in life. And so when kids, like kids always, you know, want to throw something in there to like, you know, knock you off the routine, an extra book or, you know, if you're reading together or you're reading apart, like they want to do the opposite. And every time they get that one little change, they go crazy and it knocks everything that I've been working hard for off and it makes bedtime a nightmare. So like, I just can't.
Is he on the program now?
I tell him all the time that he has to get with the program. Like, he's just a dear heart. He's a
tender heart.
Yeah, and he can't say no to them because they're just so cute.
They are stinking.
But I have a heart made of coal, and I can.
No, because you know, you've seen the opposite. When you don't have a routine, it is the worst. It makes it so hard. And even if they mess with the routine, like sticking with a couple different things. So the one piece on consistency is keeping your bedtime, like your bedtime, not the kids, within a 2-hour window, including the weekends. So
between midnight and 2 a.m.
Or between like 9 and 11.
But my kids have just gone to sleep at 9.
Yeah,
no. I cannot wait to have this conversation with you when Claire starts going to bed later. And it's not even going to be when she's 4. It'll be sooner than that. We're going to have this conversation again, and I'm going to ask you what time you're going to bed. Because it's after they go to bed. They have to do all the other stuff.
We'll see.
All right, fine.
We'll see. I'll outsource.
Spoken like a true consultant.
But the biggest thing you can do is not sleep in too much later than when you wake on the weekends than when you wake up during the week, which is hard to do because, right, you think about it, like on Friday nights, you're probably out having a couple too many drinks with friends or you're up watching a movie, whatever. You're like enjoying the fact that you don't have to work the next day. The one thing that will help with this level of consistency is kids, because no matter when you go to bed, they're waking up when they wake up.
Yes.
So that does help, but it can help in general. And what gets in our way there is sleep debts. So if you do that cycle of lose all your sleep during the week and make up for it in the weekends, it's just going to mess with your sleep all over the place. And then creating a wind down routine. So the way that we do with kids where it's like bath, book, bottle, you can do something similar for yourself, which is maybe it's phone down, cup of tea, pick up your book, this certain light goes off. This
is making me laugh.
It works. I promise you it works. Routine works
for sleep. I love routine. It just makes me laugh. Like the fact that I need like
this. You can picture me.
Yes. Larissa, it's time to put your phone down. Maybe. Larissa, it's time to wash your makeup off.
Maybe you need it.
Maybe
you need it.
That's fair. That's very fair.
So one thing about the routine and consistency with kids is something that's worked for Claire is I turn off her lights right before we nurse and she goes down to bed. And then those lights are not coming back on until she's ready to wake up in the morning.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like she can wake up and be playing in her room in the dark.
Oh yeah, I would never. Once you turn the lights on, like it's just jarring.
It's game over. They are awake for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
She still wakes up sometimes. So. Anyway, so food and drink. This is one I think you had some thoughts on.
Yeah. So the same way you talked about that there's like some foods that, you know, keep you from going to sleep, there's some foods that can actually help you get a better sleep. So have you ever heard of something called tryptophan?
In turkey. All I think about is like Thanksgiving and then after Thanksgiving feel.
That's exactly it. So tryptophan is essentially, it's an amino acid that's present in some foods, and it can just like help you get in a relaxed state. So when you have your Thanksgiving dinner and you have like all that turkey and grain and all that kind of stuff, like you get into that like food coma kind of thing. It's pretty much that same thing. So tryptophan is like, so definitely carbs, especially like 100% whole grains, like, you know, oats, brown rice, quinoa, things like that will have tryptophan. And then on top of it, there are some tryptophan having foods that also will produce serotonin. Ooh. And serotonin is basically like it's essential for healthy sleep, healthy mood. It's produced in your body and basically like enables your brain and other nervous system cells to talk to one another. So you want high serotonin in your body. You want serotonin to be produced in your body, because when you have a deficiency, that's when you can be depressed.
Oh.
So there's kind of the tryptophan, and then there's serotonin producing tryptophan foods. So
what are those?
So turkey. So okay. Definitely like proteins. So turkey, nuts, seeds, tofu, cheese, like proteins.
Interesting.
And again, like that's why you kind of like feel totally like blah. You can zone out when you have this like huge turkey dinner. So if you know you've had a really stressful day and you are someone that has a ton of trouble sleeping, maybe think about incorporating like some of those tryptophan type foods maybe into your dinner, right? So like think about adding brown rice, or think about having turkey for dinner, or eggs, or you can certainly like we can post something on the show notes
that would be great,
that kind of lists maybe the top 10 tryptophan and maybe tryptophan serotonin inducing foods, but you can certainly Google it, and that's definitely something you can do almost kind of like preventative or to like prep for the night.
That would be perfect for kids too, because it's something you'd be giving them anyway.
For sure. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be heavy.
Yeah.
It's just, you can be mindful about how you serve it or how you make it, right? You don't want to have like a completely carb filled meal, which is delicious. Well,
maybe, I was going to say, maybe you do. That sounds great. I mean, maybe great. You do,
but you know, it's not something you don't want to carbo load every evening, but it's something to consider. And something you can just incorporate into something you're already going to do.
I love that. Okay. Another one so having that food with dinner, but stopping eating before bedtime. And this is one I struggle with too.
I snack.
I don't snack. I eat late.
Oh, you have like second dinner?
No, we don't eat until after Claire goes to bed.
Oh, okay.
Because you think about it, I pick her up from daycare, because I work for full time, and then I'm cooking her dinner, doing her bedtime routine so that she sleeps through the night. And then we don't eat until 7:38.
Okay, but that's probably like when I eat dinner.
Yeah, but I go to bed at 9.
Okay, fair. Fair.
So for me, I struggle with that. Like, I'm not a big snacker, but I just go to bed early. So if I eat late. Yeah.
We'll have dinner with the kids. Like, we try to eat like a family dinner now that they're at 4 years old, and having them like sit there is a challenge because they're everywhere. But then once they go to bed, we kind of like hunker down on the couch, and then we're like, what can I put in my face? Like,
I'm still hungry.
Second dinner time.
Like, we fed them all the healthy stuff. Where's the carbs? Wait,
pause for 1 second. We finished our Kia Royale and we had a backup drink. What are we drinking as backup? Because we've moved on to it.
We did. Should we be embarrassed? Cheers. All right, to be fair, it's after a work day and we deserve it.
Totally. And even if we didn't.
So we did. We finished our Curiel. Loved it, right?
It was really good.
Honestly, Curiel is one of those drinks that you can order at a bar and feel fancy and like you know what you're talking about from a cocktail perspective. And every bar will have it.
But don't like order it at like a dive bar. They might stick their nose up at you, right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're at a dive bar, get beer. Don't get anything else. So this is from my gluten-free beer collection, because for a while...
She has a gluten-free beer collection, guys.
All right. So that's the other thing. You know how much we love cocktails. What you don't know about Larissa and I is we're both big beer
yes.
fans. Huge beer fans. So this was from when I couldn't eat gluten because of Claire. And this is called Greens. It's an all-natural IPA. So I'm a big pale ale, India pale ale drinker because I love hops. I love that like super bitter hoppy flavor. This is actually a Belgium IPA, so it's a little bit maltier. It's
really good.
It's pretty good, but it's made with millet, buckwheat, and rice instead of the typical barley. So it's not gluten removed. It's just made without gluten.
I love that. Yeah, and I'm looking at the side of the bottle, and it's like no eggs, no fish, no peanuts, no soy, no milk, no lactose, no anything.
It's perfect for me.
Yummy. All right, back to sleep. Back to sleep. Mm.
Well, help us sleep. Actually, that's one of them. One of the tips is to not bring a drink other than water to the bedroom with you. I feel like that's pretty normal for most people, but like if you have only an hour between when your daughter goes to sleep and when you go to sleep, like sometimes you want to bring that glass of red wine up to bed. But try not to do that, because it's actually not going to help. It's going to do the opposite of helping with that. And on the beverage rant, stop drinking afternoon coffee. You're pretty good at this, right?
Yeah, I only have my coffee in the morning, and I'm actually an iced coffee drinker. So I almost drink it a little bit all day, but I think like the ice is constantly melting in it, so my coffee is just getting weaker and weaker all day.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. But I will say one thing that I do recommend, and from my perspective, I do think you could take up to bed in addition to water, which is tea. Mm-hmm. I'm talking non-caffeinated herbal teas, and specifically for sleep. And I would recommend the same thing for like stress, sleep, anxiety a little bit, is both passion flower tea and chamomile tea. Those both have kind of like sedating properties almost.
Interesting.
And one little like bonus to like go back to the tryptophan is you can add a spoonful of honey to it, which is a tryptophan food. So, you know, I don't know how you sweeten your tea, but I've kind of gotten off the bandwagon of like putting sugar in my tea. I usually put a scoop of honey, or I drink it plain.
Or just a squirt of lemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but you can add that little bit of honey.
Or you can do a hot toddy with chamomile tea, which is delicious.
Yes. Minus the alcohol, because we've talked about that. But yeah, like I find it really soothing and calming to have a cup of tea, like literally in bed.
Yeah.
So I think in addition. You should
add that to the routine that I'm making you implement.
I could do that. You know what? I forget sometimes how much I love tea, and my family, like, I think it's almost a cultural thing, is like for Russians is tea. Everybody drinks tea way more predominantly than coffee.
I got really into tea when I was at training for my first consulting job, because there were so many Brits there.
Oh yeah.
And like it is a real thing, like Brits love their tea.
Totally.
And I got really into it, so I love tea. But what about melatonin? So I know melatonin is a naturally produced hormone in your body that promotes sleep, but
yes,
isn't there ways to get it other, like beyond just your natural hormones?
So a couple things about melatonin. So it's actually produced in your brain versus your body. Interesting. And it is naturally producing. It's produced by a gland within your body, and it essentially like regulates your sleep patterns. And that's why, like, if you think about babies, eventually they start to like develop that, and that's when they're able to start sleeping through the night. And what's interesting about melatonin is it's developed a little bit in the presence of light. So if you've ever heard of like seasonal affectiveness disorder, so like when there's more light in the day, you produce more melatonin. When there's less light in your day, you decrease the amount of melatonin. So one thing that you can do.
So a dreary day, you might sleep worse.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I don't know if it's like if it's affected so much by like a day to day, but it is why seasonal affectiveness disorder occurs, because it's not just like a sleep regulating thing. It could be a mood regulating thing. So one thing I will say is, you know, you can add low doses of melatonin, like in a pill form, that you can get over the counter, to, you know, to kind of supplement with your sleep. But I would say with any kind of supplement like that, you know what, I don't find it to be dangerous, but I do tend to tell people to steer clear of anything that is a permanent crutch. So I could see someone wanting to like take some low doses of melatonin once winter hits, if they're having trouble sleeping, if they're feeling kind of like a little bit blue. But I would definitely say like talk to your doctor about that before you get on any kind of regimen of anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're taking anything else, you want to make sure that there's not any kind of conflict in medicines.
Yes.
Even if it is over the counter.
Yes.
So melatonin's definitely an interesting one, and one that you can supplement for.
That's interesting. So the next piece is around activity and exercise, and this is one that people are going to roll their eyes at.
So I want to say one more on the supplement route.
Yeah.
Is valerian root.
Okay, what is that?
I know. So valerian root is actually really interesting. I learned about it like later in my teens, but it is it's a supplement that like my family took all the time.
It sounds like something from Lord of the Rings.
It's not. So, it's like a family kind of like remedy. But valerian root, like essentially a root that has healing properties in, like it's a plant that has healing properties in the root.
Okay.
And it just has calming properties, like calms your nerve cells. It's really good for like anxiety, just like, again, like kind of like a sedating type of thing. They do have valerian tea, but I can't imagine that tastes good. So the only way I've ever like taken it is in a pill form.
Okay. So it's not like something you can eat.
No, it's a supplement. And I want to mention that one because I've definitely used that one in life. I've taken it maybe like an hour before bed, kind of like calm you down a bit. But again, just like melatonin, it's not something to like be on a regimen of unless you've like talked to your doctor and you really feel like that's the best route for you. Again, it's kind of like a supplement to be used as needed. I think both, I don't know about melatonin, if I'm quite honest, with valerian root. I think you can take it as needed. I don't know about melatonin because it's something that's actually in your body, if it's something that you have to like consistently take to build up. You know, if you're supplementing, but valerian root can be kind of like taken on an as needed basis.
Interesting. So, okay. Anyway, not one I've ever heard of.
So I definitely wanted to mention that one because it's kind of like been in my family forever as like a thing in the toolbox.
Oh, I love that.
So activity and exercise.
Exercise. And this one's not that
pass.
Big. I know. And it's not saying like go run a marathon because obviously that's going to make you tired. You're going to fall asleep. But it's just getting that little bit of blood flowing and making yourself tired. So like I think about my day today, right? I've been on video conferences from 8 in the morning till 5 at night. And now we're recording. So the entire time, what am I doing? Sitting in my butt.
Yeah.
So just getting my legs moving, walking around, doing something before I fall asleep in order to just like get my blood flowing and make myself tired.
Yeah, I would also add too that if you are someone like me that may have trouble sleeping because of stress or anxiety or anything like that, I'll share kind of like a personal story with you in that, you know, I am someone that in general suffers from anxiety. And way back when, years ago, when anxiety was a much bigger part of my life than it is today, I remember a doctor telling me that I really needed to incorporate exercise into my kind of like daily regimen, because I remember her saying, if your body is tired, then it's too tired to panic, right? And so if you are someone that can't sleep because of stress or anxiety or anything like that, exercise will kind of like add to that. Like you may not be able to sleep because of things going on in your head, and those things might be too tired to develop if you've kind of exhausted your body.
I love that.
It's something to keep in mind,
actually,
too. That's like
the way to say you're too tired to panic is a little terrifying.
No, but it makes sense. It makes sense, right?
The whole premise around just exhausting your body, because our bodies are made to work.
Yeah.
Work helps us sleep.
Yeah. But you don't, I will say, you don't want to do that, like, you don't want to, like, go do some like intense cardio and then like go to sleep 20 minutes later.
No, you need like, some downtime.
You will be awake. Yes. So, but some point in your day to kind of tire yourself out a little bit is always helpful, especially in a job like ours where we sit all day long.
All day long.
Yeah. And then we lay down. And there's no standing.
And our mind thinks about all the things we have to do tomorrow.
Yes.
So a couple of other things that can really help just from an activity perspective is taking a bath or mm-hmm. taking a shower before bed. And I think most people are morning showers. I tend to be more
of a
morning.
I'm a nighttime shower.
Are you?
I am.
But that doesn't help.
No, it kind of wakes me up.
All right, maybe be a morning
shower. It helps me relax, but it doesn't necessarily help me sleep.
What if you did a bath?
That is so much work. And, like, you can't do that every night.
You could if the kids are asleep.
I mean, I guess.
And then instead of looking at your phone, read.
But I will still look at my phone.
But reading is another thing you can do before bed because it's a different brain pattern than looking at your phone. It's just more calming. My problem with reading before bed is I'll get 2 pages in and fall asleep. I will never finish.
Well, so it works. It works.
It's very
effective. It does work for me actually too. I am a big reader and I don't get to read as much as I would like to, but I will say that I do find reading puts me like in a different kind of state than if I've been watching TV or playing with my phone. Mm-hmm. And it took me a really long time to get on the Kindle bandwagon because I really love a real book. I just love a real book. And so my husband had gotten me like a light that actually like clips to my book at one point. And then finally I got a Kindle and I got the Paperwhite specifically.
I love the Paperwhite.
I mean, it's just the level of light is non-existent, right? You can see very clearly, but you're not bothering the person laying next to you. And
you can see it on the beach. That was my big thing.
You can see it on the beach, yes.
That was my big thing.
But you're also not kind of emitting that blue and white light that's coming from your phone. So I do find that really relaxing, for sure.
There you go. Bath and reading. Add that to part. We're going to check up on you in 2 weeks.
So much homework I have to do.
No electronics, bath and reading, going to bed early. I can't wait to see how you feel.
That sounds super boring.
You know what? I would rather be well rested than be exciting.
Fine.
So I think there was one more on the list, and it was around essential oils.
Yeah.
Which I honestly, can we have a crunchy episode and not mention oils?
You're right. You're right. And you know what? I have some good friends who are, you know, actual aromatherapists.
Oh, neat.
Like trained aromatherapists. And I would love to get them on the podcast.
That would be
so
fun.
Really tell us about this from like a scientific perspective rather than like what I'm going to say, which is like, it's been told that it does this kind of like.
What's funny is I use oils for stress. Like a roll ball.
Awesome. So oil. Before I even like say this part, what kind of oil do you use?
Lavender.
Ta-da. Mm-hmm. So there is other ones that are good for it. Like I know frankincense and, oh my God, bergamot I think is one too. But lavender I find like is one that most people have on hand and most people find it pleasant.
Yes.
There is just something calming about that smell. So you can, once diluted, like I will never tell you to put straight oils on yourself. I do not find that to be safe unless you truly know what you're doing because oils are so powerful, they can literally burn your skin. So always dilute it, even if it's, you know, in an oil that you have. But you can just like do a little bit on your wrists and on your temples, or you can even just like if you have the bottle of oil, just kind of smell it. Mm-hmm. Do not inhale it because I've seen people do that.
That'd be weird.
And it literally, because you could, I don't know what kind of bottle you would have, but like you can literally suck that up into your nose and that is not safe and it will hurt.
What about diffusing? Does that work for lavender?
You can diffuse too. Yeah, okay. There's just something about those smells that are calming and relaxing. You can add them to your bath, whether it's like a non-toxic bath bomb, or just like actual oils to your tub. I mean, I think maybe you'd have more success with a bath bomb too because oil and water the essential oil will separate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but really all you're trying to get is like the scent, but I do find that helps. You can, or you can have like a little sachet full of like lavender in there. I love that. All of that would work.
So I think we could probably do a whole other episode on like how we got our kids to sleep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think a quick couple of additions from what we've already said. And if you would like to hear like more about sleep habits for children, we can talk a little bit more about it. But one of the big things that I do for Claire, and then I'd love to hear what you do for the twins, is the 5-minute wait.
Okay. What do you consider what's a 5-minute wait for you?
I've heard about it in a book called The Pause. I've heard it in a couple okay. different ways, but it's when I hear her, when I put her down to bed or I hear her on the monitor, I give her 5 minutes.
Okay, but you can see her during that 5 minutes.
I
can
see her.
Okay.
I know that she's tossing and turning or she's just pissed off or whatever. Mm-hmm. I give her 5 minutes. And then she'll either self-soothe back to bed or there's something else going on, or I'll go in and just rub her back and then leave and give her the next 5 minutes. So I don't know. From my perspective, it's just giving her that time to figure out how to self-soothe, because that's going to be something that works for the rest of her life. If she can figure out how to go back to sleep, that's amazing. And so it's worked so far. I'm crossing my fingers, you guys can't see. But the other big thing I want to say about sleep with kids is that I always – the first time Claire slept through the night, I was like, finally, we done it. Like, good to go. She sleeps through the night. No. Sleep with kids will come and go by night.
Yeah, it's like the second you – or like the moment that they sleep through the night is the day before the next like – leap. You know, leap. Yeah. Like I didn't know, like that's the word I was looking for. And then there's a regression. There's of course a regression mm-hmm. around the corner.
Yeah. And I think knowing that it can ebb and flow in that way is, it helps a little bit knowing like, oh my God, she didn't sleep through the night. Is this like the next 4 months of my life? Yeah. No, it could just be tonight.
Yeah.
But that 5-minute wait has helped in so many ways. It's helped my sanity. It's helped her learn how to go back to sleep and connect her sleep cycles and figure out how to sleep on her own. It's hard.
Yeah.
Especially when they're little.
And it's something – we did something similar. We did this like 5, 10, 15-minute thing. I think we're a little bit past that stage because mm-hmm. they can just walk out of their room now. And it's in my best interest. Like if they're calling out, they probably need something. They go to the bathroom and all that on their own. But it's probably in my best interest to get to them before they get out of bed and like really wake themselves up. But I will tell you in terms of, you know, kids at my kid's age, which is around 4 – and this is relevant, I think, for a significant amount of ages, but is the night lights. So most kids have night lights in their room. And similar to your phones, the color of your night light matters. Many night lights are blue. And we know that blue light is terrible to look at from your phone and the TV and all those things. So you don't want a blue or a white night light. You actually want a red night light.
Interesting.
So we have LED night lights that like turn on when it's dark in their room. They automatically turn on. They actually have a blue, a white, and a red. That red is the best to have in their room. It's the least like disruptive to your brain. And it's actually for smaller kids. It's more familiar to them because it's in some studies, but they say like red may be the only color that they've seen in the womb.
Yeah.
So it's familiar. And they also say like, and they've said like orange night lights, but like when's the last time you saw an orange night light?
Well, Claire's changes color, so you can pick the color.
Okay. All right. So there's that. But they say like also the red and the orange is kind of like almost like sunset-y colors, which kind of like in your brain is kind of like getting ready for nighttime type of thing. So
interesting.
That's one thing I would think about. Like most kids have a nightlight in their room. It's just like a factor. You have them around your house while, you know, so the kids can see to go to the bathroom or whatever. So, you know, be mindful of that because I think that does make a difference.
Interesting. Yeah. And fun fact.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up, just, you know, sleep is so important to your overall health.
I don't know if you guys know, but Allison likes sleep.
I love sleep. And like, I'm pretty sure I came up with this episode so that I could convince Larissa to go to bed earlier. And I think we did because now 2 weeks from now, we are going to see how she did.
We
will find out.
I have some work to do here. Like, I will admit that. I could do better here.
So there are some natural ways to improve sleep, and we talked through some of them, but we'll also put them in the show notes, so if you just want to take a look. And there was a couple of things that I mentioned in the beginning. There's some great studies around sleep and the importance of sleep and different ways to improve sleep, and I'll put all of that in there. But just to reiterate, if you are suffering from something beyond just the inability to sleep, go see a doctor.
Yeah, sleep, especially if it's consistent, yes. Right? Like, it's one thing to, like, have a stressful day and have a bad night of sleep or a bad couple nights of sleep, but when it's consistently a problem, it's something that you should talk to someone about.
Because it'll impact your life.
Yeah.
It definitely will.
So. And I would also say, like, you guys know I am always on the hunt for, like, new methods. So if there's something that works for you, whether it's, like, to reduce your stress so you get a better night's sleep or to get a better night's sleep, we'd certainly love to hear it. So, absolutely. You know, shoot us a comment on crunchycocktailhour.com or send us an email at hello@crunchycocktailhour.com.
Yeah. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe. And we would love it if you would leave us a review. You know, we're still relatively new to the podcasting world, and we'd love to hear what you think. And if you have any ideas for things you'd like to hear, please send them our way.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
See you next week.